Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Ayin Bet Amud Bet, second to last line. Itmar machloket amoraim between Rav and Shmuel. Kitcha al etnai vekansa stam. He did the kiddushim with the tnai, with the condition built into it that she has no nidarim, and then afterwards he is koneser, has the nisuin without any statement or reminder about what happened previously. Rav amar tzricha himenu get. Rav says you require a get in this case. Shmuel Amar, Eina tzricha himenu get. She does not need a get. Now, assuming here that there are nidarim that are found here, what has transpired or what has happened at this point? Seemingly, the question of nisuin. When he did the nisuin stam, does that override what he did in the tnai of the kiddushin? He had a tnai in the kiddushin. Now he comes and he does nisuin. Is nisuin able to override what he said with regards to kiddushin, or do we assume that whatever he did with the nisuin was premised on what he did with the kiddushin? So Rav would seemingly say that the nisuin here, michibata bi'ah, it overrides, he wipes out all conditions because he didn't restate the condition. And therefore you have a consummated marriage and he requires a get. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that it's premised on the original kiddushin. Since it's premised on the original kiddushin, the tnai is still there. And if the tnai is there, that means that the nisuin were also not consummated because there was a condition built into them. Samar Rabbi, lo teima taima derav, kevin shekansa stam, achule achle the tnai. Don't say the reason behind Rav's position is since he was koneser stam, he did the nisuin, the bi'ah, without any statement, that he's mochel al tnai. Basically what I just described here in the position of Rav, which is that he started out with kiddushin, which were al tnai. And then he goes ahead and he does bi'ah nisuin without any statement. So don't assume that the fact that he didn't say anything over here and that he did the bi'ah, that he overrode anything that he had said before. He basically now says, at this point, I'm accepting whatever it is because we now had bi'ah, we had nisuin, and whatever it is because I didn't restate that tonight. Don't say that. El time of the Rav, the reason behind Rav is the fish ain adam usib bilato biladznut. The reason has to do with the fact that a person does not make his bi'ah into a bi'at znut. Now, as Rashi explains over here, then we'll see afterwards the sheet of the Ri. Rashi explains over here that what happened was the kiddushin failed. Before he said he had a tnai in his kiddushin, the tnai in the kiddushin was that if she has nidarim, the kiddushin doesn't go through. Well, sure enough, she does have nidarim. And that means that the original kiddushin failed. Now he has bi'ah after that kiddushin. Does this bi'ah now act like kiddushin? He failed the first kiddushin, now he needs a second kiddushin. So what we're suggesting now in the position of Rav is, this bi'ah will function as the kiddushin now. And that's what it means, ein adam oseh bilato bilatznut. The person doesn't make his bi'ah to bilatznut, and since his original kiddushin was not functional because it had tnai in it, now when he does the bi'ah now, he's making the kiddushin, he gets the kiddushin at this point in time. The first kiddushin didn't work because there was a tnai, so it's as if it's not there. And now you have a kiddushin based on bi'ah. It was stam without any conditions built into it. So now he has kiddushin. Second time around, he didn't state the tnai. He didn't state the condition. So therefore, the condition seemingly has gone away at this point in time. And means that he has now done the kiddushin through this act of bi'ah. The statement of Rav is, l'fish en adam osib bilato bilatznut, that a person has in mind that whatever he's doing should be kosher. Right now, the only thing he needs is kiddushin, so it works as kiddushin. I mean, it's not bekodmin if he passes through nisuin. I mean, those are complications of nidarim, but that's not the Gemara's assumption is that he already, because he made the condition by kiddushin, that it would happen before kiddushin. Now for Rashi, he has to deal with the fact that the get here is a get, but no ketubah. So Rashi explains over here that as far as the condition with regards to Nidarim, it will stand in place with regards to monetary matters. So for monetary matters, the condition is still there. And if he divorces her, he will not have to give her a ketubah. On the other hand, in terms of a marriage, they have a marriage because in adam osib bilato bilatznut, and the bi'ah functioned as kiddushin. So he was able to generate kiddushin over here. And by generating kiddushin, they're married and he requires a get, because the bi'ah was done stam without any conditions around it. On the other hand, the original condition is still there with regards to the monetary matters. And so if we know that she has nidarim, she will not get her ketubah because it fails from that standpoint. So he's bifurcating the din between the marriage side of it, which is, it will be a marriage. On the other hand, in terms of the monetary matters, the condition is still extant. That's the way Rashi explains, don't read it as the fact that once he has biyah, he's mochel on the tanai, but rather the tanai is still there. The condition is still there. But in an isolated way, we have to look at this biyah as if it did something. He wants it to function. He doesn't want it to be a biyah tznut. So we give it power to give it kiddushin. But on the other hand, the tanai is still there and it's still extant and prevents the ketubah. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot already asks on this based on our Mishnah, which is our Mishnah already says in a case where kidushin and kansastam, that also in that case she doesn't get a ketubah. So why do you need a tanai by the kiddushin to lose the ketubah? The Mishnah already says even if there was kiddushin stam and nisuin stam, she loses the ketubah because it's inherently believed that this woman is, you can say, yefshibisha nadranit. I don't want a woman that has nidarim on her. And all of a sudden he gets surprised by this information. That's enough of a reason for her to lose her ketubah. So why do you need this case over here? Tosafot answers that maybe that you could have explained our Mishnah in a case where there was no biyah. And therefore, it would be different than the statement of Rav. But then the Re comes along and says, I'll explain to you the Gemara here. Lo tema time of the Rav, that came into Kansa. Afagav de lo baal, achle le tanei. Don't say that nisuin in of itself ruins the condition. Utei tzricha get, umiyo ktuba vade leitla. Of course, ktuba she doesn't get, but let us not say that if there is nisuin without biyah, let us say that it allows the kiddushin to go through, because he's mochel with regards to the kiddushin on the condition. With regards to the monetary matters, it will still be outstanding. Don't say that, Ella. The reasoning is, in adam osir bilato bilat znot, which means that it's only with bi'ah that this works. This is not a principle inside of nisuin, which says that anytime there's nisuin, I waive my conditions with regards to the kiddushin, but rather it's a din in bi'ah. The din that only when you use bi'ah for the nisuin, at that point in time, that bi'ah will function as kiddushin. So that's the way the Re explains it, as opposed to Rashi, who sees the bi'ah as functioning in the kiddushin, because otherwise you would have said it was nisuin and it wipes everything out. The Re views it as being a choice between nisuin ayadei chupa and nisuin ayadei bi'ah. So nisuin ayadei chupa, don't say that that's enough to wipe out the tanai. Only nisuin ayadei bi'ah is enough to wipe out the tanai because of this ein adam osir bilato. Bilat znut. That's the way the rereads it. And then later on in the Tosfot, towards the end of the Tosfot, he says, "Vehechi salkadat from the Meimar, the kansa below val, dachuli achle tanae." How would you ever have a habamina that if a person has nisuin without biyah, that he forgives or he wipes out the condition? Vitzricha get. Kaven de kidshal tanae, shein alea nidarim. If he stated specifically that he had kiddushin without tanae, vayu alea nidarim, and there were nidarim, aim kain ain mikudeshet. There's no kiddushin. You can't have nisuin without kiddushin. And if the kiddushin fails, then what's the nisuin doing? Uma moyel afilu chola tanai. Even if you forgive the tanai now, achar kach im lo yachzor b'kachena. He has to do kiddushin, and that's all missing here. Miu ichupa kone necha. This is something that we discussed in Yevamot. We discussed here a little bit, and we'll see it again in kiddushin, which is that when you have chupa, can chupa function both as nisuin and as kiddushin? So if you say that chupa can do both, then that's exactly what happens here. The chupa will generate both kiddushin and nisuin. If you want to say that chupa does not succeed at creating kiddushin, when he had the kiddushin, that was an implicit condition in there. If he does nisuin in the end, yehi machula tonight. It's as if the tanai doesn't exist, and therefore the kiddushin will be effective. So Tosafot explains that we have a kiddushin over here that's failing, and we want to know if nisuin can make up for that failing kiddushin. Abaye says, don't think that nisuin by itself can do that, can create that function of replacing the kiddushin or creating the nisuin, because it's just not strong enough to do that. It's not the reason behind Rav. He's not forgiving the tanai, he's not releasing the tanai. But rather, it's because in adam osir bileto biletznut, and that means only if he uses biyah as the way to get to nisuin, will we say that that replaces the kiddushin. On the other hand, for Rashi, the question is, how is the biyah functioning over here? Is the biyah functioning as nisuin, and therefore he forgave everything, and everything goes through now? Or do we say that the Bia is replacing the Kiddushin that was originally. And that's the way Rashi explains it, that the Bia now replaces the original Kiddushin because the original Kiddushin failed. Shmuel disagrees, obviously, on this point. Tosafot goes to lengths to show that Shmuel does not have to disagree at the point. Ein adam oseh bilato bilatznut. He might hold that, yes, ein adam oseh bilato bilatznut, but in this case, he doesn't know what it's doing. He has bi'a here, and the bi'a cannot do what he thinks it's doing. He thinks it's doing nisuin, and it was really only doing kiddushin. And if he doesn't have that in mind, he can't create it. The question that you had raised before, which is, how is it possible that it works anyway? Both might agree that ein adam oseh bilato bilatznut. The question is, this bi'a, what does it become? What becomes of it? Rav's willing to say that it becomes kiddushin, even though that's not necessarily what he was thinking at the time. Shmuel says no. If he was thinking nisuin, then that's what it is. It's not that bilato bilatznut, but nevertheless, his bi'a cannot replace the original kiddushin. So Mgar says, ha plige chadazimno. Don't we have this machloket already that we saw back in Yevamot? Ditmar. Ktana shalomiana. A ktana who was married midrabanan. Her mother, her brother married her off after the passing of her father. And she did not perform miyun, which is the rabbinic nullification of that marriage. Vigdila. And then she came of age. Now, the Gemara there in Yevamot establishes when she was Higdila that they had bi'ah. She had bi'ah with this husband that she had kiddushin with midrabanan. Amda. Then after that, she went ahead, benisait, and gets married to a third party. So again, she was married as a ktana. Then, once she becomes of age, she has bi'ah with this original husband. Then, after that, she walks away, does miyun, and then says, I'm getting married to so-and-so, and he goes to get married to a third party. Rav Amar, ein tzricha get misheni. You don't need to get a get from this second husband, the third party that she marries afterwards. Shmuel Amar, tzricha get misheni. Then Shmuel says, you do need a get from the second party. The reasoning behind this is that the original kiddushin were not a good kiddushin because they were kiddushin with a ktana. So kiddushei ktana are nothing midoraita. They are working midrabanan. Now they had bi'ah once she came of age. How does that bi'ah function? Is that bi'ah relying on the original kiddushin? And if it's relying on the original kiddushin, it fails because the original kiddushin was no good. And so therefore this bi'ah is no better. Or do we say that since the original kiddushin failed, now the bi'ah functioned as kiddushin and replaced it? So Rav says, that's exactly what happened over here. The bi'ah that she had once she became of age replaced the kiddushin that didn't work originally. Just like he says over here, that the bi'ah replaces the failed kiddushin that had the t'nai in it. So to over there, the kiddushin of the k'tana that failed will now be replaced by the bi'ah that he has when she came of age. Therefore, when she goes off and marries the other party, it doesn't help, because she was married to number one. So when she goes and has bi'ah with number two, she can't get married to him because she now has a consummated marriage with the original husband. And therefore, whatever she did with the second individual has no bearing. Now, it might be a problem of an extramarital affair, might be another issue, but she's married to the first party, not to the second party. But on the other hand, Shmuel says that when they had bi'ah, when she came of age, that was premised on the original kiddushin. And the original kiddushin was as a ketana. So you have nothing better than you had originally, which is only the din derabonon of kiddushin. Now she goes ahead and has bi'ah with this other party. That is a marriage midoraita. And therefore she'll need a get from the second individual because the marriage went through with the second individual. But that's parallel to what our machloket over here is. The bi'ah afterwards, does it replace the original kiddushin or is it premised on the original kiddushin? So the Gemara wants to know, why do I need this machloket twice? So when I said tzricha, we need both cases. Di'it mar bahayi. If I only said it in the case of Yevamot, bahayi kamar Rav. Over there, Rav says that the bi'ah replaces the kiddushim. Mishum deleka tzna'ah. Because there was no condition in the kiddushin. He never stipulated anything in the kiddushin. The kiddushin didn't fail because he said, I want her to be without nidarim. It failed because simply you can't marry a ktana. And therefore, he, when he does the bi'ah later on, knows that his original kiddushin was problematic. And since he didn't stipulate any conditions, once she becomes a gdola, he has bi'ah with her, and therefore replaces the kiddushin, because that's what he wants. He wants the marriage. of Abaha. In our case over here, by the case of the Tanai, that there is a condition in the Kiddushin, maybe you'll agree to Shmuel that when you make an explicit condition in the Kiddushin, you're not going to come afterwards and make a biyah to override what your explicit condition was originally. So that's why I need Rav's position over here. V'itmar baha, if we only had the case here in Ketubot, b'hakamar Shmuel, over here Shmuel says that the second Kiddushin does not replace the first Kiddushin because there was a Tanai that he explicitly stated. But in the case of Rav, maybe he would agree to Rav's position because over there, there's no explicit Tanai that denies the Kiddushin. It just fails because she's a Tanai. You actually have Kiddushin midrabanan. And so therefore, maybe you would say the second Bia or the Bia that he has later on is the Kiddushin. He would agree. So Tricho, therefore I need both situations or circumstances to show you the position of Rav and Shmuel in both of these instances. It's not our Mishnah. Kansa Stam. Benitzu aleha nidarim teitzei shelo b'ktuba. In a case where he does the kinus without any statement, and we find nidarim on her, teitzei shelo b'ktuba, she goes without a ktuba. Ktuba hu dolo baya. She doesn't get her ktuba, hagita baya, but she does need a divorce. My love, what is the case here in the Mishnah? The kidsha al tnai v'kansa stam is a case where he had kiddushin with the condition built into it. And afterwards, they were konei stam. Basically, the way Rav is reading the Mishnah is that the two cases are connected. You first have a case which is mikadesh et isha amanat she'en aleha nidarim, v'nimtzu aleha nidarim, eina mikudeshet. If they discover the nidarim after the kiddushin fails and done. On the other hand, if there was kiddushin al tnai, and then the case continues, kansa stam, and then they got married without any stipulations, and only discover them after the point of Nitzuin. You go out without a ktuba, but you still require a get. This is Shitat Rav. Shitat Rav is that when you do a bi'a afterwards, the bi'a is sufficient to create the marriage, but not sufficient to override the condition, original condition, that you'll get a ktuba. And so the Mishnah is the same case. There's one case where there's a condition in the Kiddushin. The second case is just a continuation of that. It was a condition in the Kiddushin, but then there was also kansa stam. So our Mishnah is very supportive of Rav's position and to Yufta de Shmuel. And it's a strong refutation of Shmuel's position. So the Gemara says, though, that Shmuel will read the Mishnah as being two independent cases. Kidsha stam, v'kansa stam. There are two cases in the Mishnah. There's a case in the Mishnah of kidesh al tnai. And then there's a case in the Mishnah of kidsha stam, v'kansa stam. Of al kidsha al tnai. If there was Kiddushim al Tanai, v'kansa stam, hachanami, delo ba'igita, then you wouldn't require a get. So Gemara says, if that's the case, adad k'tanei makadeshet isha amanashin ala nidarim, nitzolei adindarim, then why do you make the first case in the Mishnah a lesser of a Kiddush? The first case in the Mishnah says, oh, he had Kiddushin, and he put a condition that she didn't have nidarim. Oh, then they find that there are nidarim. Kiddushin fails. Do this. Eina mikudeshet. That case, eina mikudeshet, litnei kansa stam. Add on the additional aspect that even if there was a kiddushin al tanai and kansa stam, benitzu al nidarim, ena mikudeshet, the whole thing fails. For Shmuel, that's what would be the case, and it's a much bigger chiddush that even with kansa stam, kiddushin al tanai still fail. V'chosh kein ha, and then certainly in the case where there was just kiddushin and they discover them afterwards that the kiddushin fails. Gemara says achanami kamar. That's exactly what it says. Hamikadeshet tisha amanat shein al nidarim v'kansa stam. That's the first case in the Mishnah. Kiddushin al tnai and a stam knisa v'nimtzu aleha nidarim eino mikudeshet. On the other hand, the second case is kidsha stam v'kansa stam, kiddushin without any stipulation and a kinus without any stipulations teitzei shelo b'ktuba, that you don't get it. Ktubahu dulo bai hagita bai. There's no ktuba, but she does get a get. Gemara says maishna ktuba dulo bai. Why do you say that she doesn't get a ktuba over here? He was mikadesh her stam. And he was koneser stam. So he made no stipulation. So why does she lose her ktuba over here? If she say that she loses her ktuba because it's a built-in tanai, that same built-in tanai should ruin it and she shouldn't require a get. Damar efshi b'isha nadranit. Because you say that I don't want a woman who takes nidarim. So that it's an implicit built-in tanai to any kiddushin or nisuin is the fact that people don't want women that are taking these types of nidarim. People in general will not accept such a thing, and it's as if there's a mum here and a mekach ta'ot that came about because this woman has something that is not acceptable in general. And therefore, it's as if there's a mekach ta'ot. Where it says, yochi get nami lo tibai. If that's the case, and it fails for the ketubah, it should also fail for the get as well. And you wouldn't need a get because the whole thing fails. So, amarabot tzricha get mi divrehem. The get here is only a rabbinic get. V'chein amar Rav Chisda tzricha get mi divrehem. You only need a get mi derabanan. So that means, mi d'oraita, technically, the whole thing fails. Mi d'oraita, I don't want an isha nadranit. Since I don't want an isha nadranit, it's a mekach ta'ot, because that's an assumption going into a marriage that this woman isn't full of nidarim. And so now all of a sudden they make the discovery afterwards. It's a disclosure that should have been made. And since the disclosure wasn't made, there's a failure here in the kedushin and in the nisuin. So I don't need a get. I don't give a ketubah. So why am I giving a get? That's midrabanan. Why am I giving a get midrabanan? Because we don't want a woman who's nisua to go out without anything. Otherwise, people will look at this and say, wait, wasn't she just married? And now all of a sudden she walked away from the marriage without anything. Even though he made no such stipulation, since it's a built-in stipulation, the marriage fails. But from the outside, we don't know this. The information's missing from the outside. So therefore, we require a get midivrehem. In order to make it look like there was a marriage and could dissolve the marriage without just walking away from the marriage. Rav Amar, Tano, Svuke, Misvakale. The Tana has a Safek over here. Rashi says, the Safek here is, what is the normal position of a person? Are people makpid on an Isha Nadranit? Or are people not makpid on an Isha Nadranit? So that's one way. Rashi reads the Safek as being in the implicit Tanai. Does such an implicit Tanai have bearing? Do people really care about this issue, or do they not care about this issue? That's the way Rashi reads the Safek. You obviously could read the Safek as, does this work? Does Isha Nadranit, when you find out that she's an Isha Nadranit, and say there was a Tanai here, does it work or does it not work? We're not certain as to whether it works. And since we're not certain as to whether it works, meaning the case of Shmuel versus Rav, Shmuel could be saying, it's a Safek over here with regards to Kichestam, Akansestam, whether they were coming to replace the Kiddushin and therefore there's no Tanai. Or do we say that there was a Tanai here, and since there was a Tanai, that Tanai lived through the Nisuin as well. And that could be the Suffolk over here. The Suffolk is whether you need a get or you don't need a get because of the fact that we just don't know how to view such a Tanai. When you have a Tanai in the Kiddushin and then you have Kansestam, what do we do in that case? So therefore, Gabe Mamona the Kula. So therefore, by Mamon, we go the Kula. Gabe Yisura, the Chumra. By Yisurim, we go the Chumra. Because Mamona the Kula means a Motzi Michavero Alav Haraya. Who has the money? The husband. Therefore, she can't get her ketubah because there's a safek over here. On the other hand, with regards to Isur, Eshadish, there we're going to be machmir and force you to give a get me safek. So, Amarabba, machloket bita'ut shtei nashim. Aval bita'ut ishachat divrei hakol ein tzricha yemenu get. So, Rabba now qualifies this machloket between Rav and Shmuel, and he says this machloket between Rav and Shmuel is only when you have two women. Aval bita'ut ishachat, if there was only one woman involved, divrei hakol ein tzricha yemenu get. Everybody agrees that you do not need a get over here. So the way Rashi explains ta'ut shtei nashim is in a case where he got engaged to a first woman and he stipulated in the engagement that he doesn't want any nidarim on this woman. Then he goes ahead and he gets engaged to a second woman. That second woman, he makes no stipulations. He gets engaged, he has kiddushin without any stipulations. Then he goes ahead and kansa. He has bia with that second woman. The question that we ask here is, in the first marriage, in the first kiddushin, he clearly stipulated a neder. And he made it clear that he wants there to be a woman who's free and clear of nidarim. So then when he went ahead and he did the kiddushin the second with the second woman and made no statement, is that because he's relying on the first kiddushin and he's already declared what he likes? He only wants women without nidarim. So therefore, if that's what he stated by the first, that's exactly what he wants by the second, and he didn't state it because that's already been made clear by the first woman. Or do we say that the first woman he wanted to have the tnai, the second woman he liked better? He was chaviv alav, and therefore he left out all stipulations because he really wanted this marriage to go through, and he was willing to waive the stipulations. And so that's the machloket here between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel are arguing about the case where the first engagement halachically had a tnai, the second engagement halachically did not have a tnai, and then he was kansastam. Do we read over from the first kiddushin to the second kiddushin or not? And that's a machloket here between Rab and Shmuel. But by isha achat, by a single woman, where we have a tnai in the kiddushin, and then afterwards we have the nisuin, over there, we would say that there is no machloket, and even Rav would be modeh that his mind was on the tonight, because this is the same woman that he made the condition with when he does the nisuin. He still has in mind that condition that was there originally. And so now he has a failed kiddushin and a second failed kiddushin, and nothing happens over here. So that's the way Rashi learns it. The Rif learns very similarly to Rashi, but almost in the opposite direction. He says it's the same case here. The first woman, he was Mekadesh al Tanai. The second woman, he was Mekadesh Stam. Then he married the first woman. Not like Rashi where he married the second woman. He marries the first woman, Kansa Stam. Do we say now that since he got engaged halakhically to the second woman without any conditions, it's as if he's waiving their conditions from the first one, and when he was Kansa Stam, he's basically saying, I don't care about these conditions anymore. Or are they two separate cases? The case of the first woman had a condition, and therefore the Kansa is relying on that. And the second woman, where he didn't make the condition with the Tanai, that's a separate, totally case. So that's the way the Rif learns. The Meiri brings down a third way to learn this, that Shtei Nashim. It's a case where he got engaged to two women, and both women he stipulated a Tanai in the Kiddushin. Then he has Kansa Stam of the first woman, and Kansa Stam of the second woman. Because had he only been Kansa Stam on the first woman, we could have just said that was a one-time thing. It was a freak accident. He forgot to stipulate the tanai. He was Kansa Stam. But then when he's Kansa Stam a second time with the second woman, then we know that that's what he's doing. He's Kansa Stam because he wants to be Kone Stam. What does that mean? That's the machloka between Rav and Shmuel. But with one woman where he had Kiddushin and then he has Kansa Stam, we're just going to assume that he was relying on the original tanai because that was a one-time thing. He said the Kiddushin and then he's Kansa Stam because he was relying on it. But if he acts on a recurring basis in this manner, maybe the Kansa Stam has more meaning. And in that case, Rav will say that second Bia acts as Kiddushin. So those are three different ways to learn what it means, Ta'ut Shtei Nashim versus Ta'ut Isha Achat. We had Rashi, the Rif, and the Meiri. Aval, but Ta'ut Isha Achat, Divrei Kol Ein Tzrichah Imenu Get. When it comes to a mistake by one woman, everybody agrees, even Rav agrees that you don't need a get because it's relying on the original case. Our Mishnah is a case of one woman. And yet, and from the Mishnah, we had a question on Shmuel's position and assumed that it was good for Rav's position. That means that the Gemara, obviously it's not a problem for Rav in particular, but the fact that the Gemara, based on the Mishnah, thought that the Mishnah was a proper case to challenge Rav and Shmuel from the Mishnah, it means that they think the machlok between Rav and Shmuel is relevant in the Mishnah. And our Mishnah is a case of Isha Achat. It's a case where Kidsha and then Kansa, and there was only one woman involved. Ela Itmar Hachi Itmar. We have to amend Rabba's statement and say this. I'm a Rav machlok betaut Isha Achat ke'en shtei nashim. Machlok here is where you made a mistake with one woman like two women. Now, so if it's a regular case of one woman where he was Kidsha al Tnai and then Kansa Stam, everybody agrees that the later Nisuin or Bia was premised on the original Kiddushin and it fails, according to both Rab and Shmuel. So where is the machlok between Rab and Shmuel? In a case where she's like two women. In a case where, for instance, according to Rashi, it's a case where she got engaged halachically with a condition built into it. Then, Girsha, he divorces her min ayusin, gives her a get, never had nisuin. Then after that, he comes along, v'chazer v'kansa stam. Then he comes back and does the knisa without any statement. Now the question is, when he comes and does the knisa, the bia, afterwards stam, what is that doing? Is it relying on the original kiddushin? Even though he gave a get to that, he's still thinking in terms of the original kiddushin. That's the way Shmuel thinks. And therefore this bia is still premised on the original tanai in the kiddushin, and it doesn't work. And then Rav says, she's like a new woman now. Once he divorced her, you're dealing with a new woman. So if you have a clean slate, then the kansa stam stands on its own, and therefore Rav says it's good. That's the way Rashi explains it. The Rif, on the other hand, says it's a case of how much time elapsed. It's a case where he did kiddushin al tanai, and then shortly after he's kansa stam, Over there, everybody agrees that the knisa is premised on the kiddushin. Because there was a short duration between them, the knisa clearly connected back to the kiddushin. On the other hand, when you had a kiddushin, and then there was a large delay between the kiddushin and the kansa, in that case, do we say that the kansa now is separated or detached from the kiddushin because it's so long afterwards, it's so far removed, that here he's acting independently of the original one? Or we say it's still premised on the original kiddushin, and that'll be the machloka between Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, Eitvei Abaye, Abaye challenges his Rebbe Rabbo based on the new amended Rabbo. Kitcha b'taut, in a case where he had kiddushin by mistake, upachot mishave pruta, or he had a kiddushin with less than a shave pruta, which is also a kiddushin that does not work. V'chein katan shekidesh, or a katan who tries to initiate kiddushin, which fails also. A katan cannot do kiddushin, only a gadol can have kiddushin. So in all three of these instances, we think there are three examples here. Kiddushin b'taot, pachot mishave pruta, and a katan. All three of these cases, the kiddushin fail. Afal pi shalach siblonot achar mikain, even though he sends gifts to his kala afterwards, eina mikudeshet, it doesn't work. Shemachmar kiddushin harishonim shalach, because he was sending those gifts premised or based on the fact that he had the kiddushin. The gifts that he's sending later are not to replace the kiddushin. The gifts that he sends later when he's a gadol, or the gifts are more than a shabbat pruta, or he's sending the gifts. The Gemara is assuming now that kitcha b'taot means that he had a tznai on her, a condition that she didn't have nidarim, and then he sends her gifts afterwards. Is the sending of the gift a replacement of the original kiddushin which failed, or are they premised on the original kiddushin? So the Tosefta here is clear that it's premised on the original kiddushin. So therefore all the gifts are connected to the original kiddushin, and that original kiddushin doesn't exist or didn't work. Vim balu kanu. And if they had bi'ah, then it works. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda mishim Rabbi Shmuel amar, imbalu lo kanu. If they had bi'ah, it doesn't work. Vahacha de ta'ut isha achati. Here is clearly a mistake with regards to one woman, because there's only one woman involved in the situation here. Uplige. And they argue over here. We have Tanaim arguing, but we would assume that Rav and Shmuel would also line up along these same premises. My love, so Gemara says, ta'ot, what's the case of kiddushei ta'ot? Nidarim. It's a case where there were nidarim on her, and that's what the ta'ot was. So here we have an explicit Tosefta that says that when there was a condition built into kiddushim about nidarim, and afterwards they had bi'ah, we have a machloket tanaim as to whether it overrides the kiddushin, or whether it's still premised on the original kiddushin. So how are you telling me that everybody agrees when it's ta'ot ishachat, that that's not the case? Where it says lo, ta'ot pachot mishave pruta. The case of kiddushei ta'ot is a case where he gave less than a shave pruta. Where it says pachot mishave pruta behejik tanila. That's explicit in the Tosefta. That was a pachot mishave pruta, because it says tanila kiddusha b'ta'ot upachot mishave pruta. It has a vav between them, which seems to indicate that there was a kiddushei b'ta'ot, which is something separate, and then you have pachot mishave pruta. So the Gemara answer is perushei kamifarish. That's exactly what happens, as if there was a colon there. Kitcha b'taut, ketzad, colon. What is the case of that? Kagon, shikitcha pacha mishave pruta. It's an example of kitcha b'taut. So, maika miflagei. Well, now that you're saying they're not arguing about kansastam afterwards, then what's the question here? What is the shorash hamachloki between them? Mar savar adam yodea shen kiddushin tovsim b'pacha mishave pruta. A person knows that kiddushin don't work with less than a shave pruta. V'gomar obal l'shem kiddushin. Therefore, when he has bi'ah, he's doing it with the intent of kiddushin. Mar savarein adam yodei shem kiddushin tovsim b'shav pachot mishav b'ruta. Person is not aware of the fact that pachot mishav b'ruta doesn't work. V'chinka ba'al adaita the kiddushin mishonim ba'al. And then when he has the bi'ah, he's doing it premised on the original kiddushin. The original kiddushin weren't a good kiddushin. So too, this bi'ah is also not a good bi'ah, because everything failed along the way. Now you could ask, if he knew that pachot mishav b'ruta doesn't work, then why did he do it? So the answer probably here of likely is that the question is not about the first act, but about the second act. When he does bi'ah the second time, what does he have in mind? He did pachot mishave pruta. So when he does pachot mishave pruta, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't know that it doesn't work. So he did it thinking there was a kiddushin. Now he goes ahead and he has bi'ah. When he has the bi'ah now, what is he thinking? Is he thinking that the bi'ah is premised on the original kiddushin and it fails? Or does he say, I want my bi'ah to be kasher? And therefore, since we know, or most people know, that pachot mishave pruta does not work, and he wants his bi'ah to kasher, we're going to assume that his bi'ah is a bi'ah of kiddushin. And not that he was aware of the fact that he did nothing the first time. Because if he's aware he did nothing the first time, of course the bi'ah is a bi'ah of kiddushin, because he knows that there is no kiddushin originally. So you have to phrase it somewhat like what I just said. Eitavei, hareini bo'aleich almanat shir te'abo. I'm going to have bi'ah with you to establish kiddushin on the premise that your father proves. Afo pishalorat za'av. Even if the father disapproves, mikudeshet, it works. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon ratzav mikudeshet. If the father approves, it's kiddushin. Ratzav ena mikudeshet. This is a case where it's like a mistake by one woman, because over here the kiddushin was done through bi'ah with a tnai built into it. The question is, how do we relate the tnai to the bi'ah that was done? He did bi'ah, and he had a tnai. Do we say that the bi'ah stands independent of the tnai? Or do we say that the bi'ah is connected to the tnai?
Why would we think that it's independent if it's almanat?
Ein adam oseh bilat znut. And if the condition then, the father says no, then it would make his bi'ah into a bilat znut. So since we don't want his bi'ah to be a bi'ah znut, he is gomer and says, I want the kiddushin even without the tnai. So that seems to be the machloket in the Mishnah. But that's equivalent of an isha achat, and yet we're still saying, we're arguing about this point. What does bi'ah do in reference to a tnai that preceded it? So the Gemara says, no. Hotam b'hakam iflagate. No, the machloket over there is not what you're saying. Marsav almanach yud say abba, almanach yishtok abba, a'av. That is the case. All I care is that the father does not object. And he was silent. B'hashotikle. Marsav almanach yumar abba hain. When I said you want your father's approval, I want him to give active, positive approval. Follow Amar Abahain. He was silent afterwards. So the question is his silence what he was looking for in terms of acquiescence? And therefore, when he said, if your father agrees, that means he didn't disapprove of it. And when he says, your father agrees, I want him to stay, that he wants this marriage, and he didn't say anything. So that's their machlokes over there. Nothing to do with our case of whether bilato, bilatznut or not. Eitve. We have another case. Modim chachamim le'Rabbi Eliezer b'ktana, she'asiyah via v'nitkasha. A case where a ketana got married through her father, which is a kiddushin doraita, because her father's marrying her off, benit garsha, and then she got divorced, which means that she got divorced doraita. Vihi yitoma b'chayav. Now she is a living yitoma, because even though her father's still alive, he's lost the ability to have auspices over his daughter because he already married her off once. Once he's done that, he no longer has rights in his daughter. She's independent, but she's a ketana. Since she's independent as a ketana, the only thing she can generate now is kiddushin derabanan, vechzira, and then he takes her back. After the divorce, he remarries her, which means that the second marriage is only mi derabanan. Shecholatzet velo mityabemet. In a case there where she's now faced with the case of yibum, and that case of yibum, she does chalitzan and not yibum. That is because the first Gerushin made her into a Eshet Ach. She is the brother's wife that was divorced. That happened at the Doraita level. As far as the Torah is concerned, this woman was once married to his brother and then divorced from his brother. And now when you come to bring them together and have Yibum, she can't have Yibum with him because Midoraita, she's an Erva. On the other hand, Midorabanan, since she married him again, that was a Kedushin Derabanan, Midorabanan, they're married and there should be Yibum, quote unquote, Midorabanan. Therefore, we demand chalitza and not yibum. Not yibum because doraita is not allowed. Chalitza because of the kiddushin derabanan. Mipnei she gerushel gerushin gimurin. And the reason being, as we explain now, that the gerushin were midoraita. Vein chazarata, chazarata gmura. But her return was only kiddushin derabanan. Bamed varim amurim. When is that true? She girsha she iktana. That's only when he divorced her when she was a minor. Vechzirak she iktana. And then took her back when she was a minor. Aval girsha kishi ktana, he divorced her when she was a ktana, v'chzirak shi gdola, and then he takes her back when she's a gdola. Oh, shechzirak shi ktana v'gadla etzlo, or took her back as a ktana, but then she stayed with him until she came of age, and they had bi'ah after she came of age. Umeit, then he dies. O choletzit, o mityabemet. Then in that case, doraita, seemingly they are married now. And since they are married doraita, therefore you are faced with a choice doraita, whether you perform yibum or you do not perform yibum. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer amru choletzet velo mityabemet. Over there, Rabbi Eliezer says you do chalitza and not yibum. The question revolves around the question of Gerushin. Once you have Gerushin, how does that impact on Yibum? So the way Rashi explains it, this is the way the Gemara in Yivamot explains it, is that Rabbi Eliezer believes, even if she's a Gdola and he's a Makzir, that he thinks that there's a problem here. Because he worries about Yitoma B'Chayav. Right, so if the Yitoma B'Chayav and then he returned her, and then we're faced with the case of Yibum, in that case, clearly she has to do Chalitza, not Yibum. So therefore, we're afraid of any other case where there was Gerushin, and then a remarriage, Rabbi Eliezer says, no go in terms of Yibum, because we mix it up with the case of Yitoma B'Chayav. Rashi says here, even a case where she was of age. She got divorced and they got remarried, even when she was of age. So midoraita, she got remarried.
Right.
Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says, choletzet v'lo mitya b'emet. Exactly, lo plug. We don't want any questions about these types of cases because there's that one case where it doesn't work. On the other hand, the chachamim say it makes a difference. In the case where she's a yotoma b'chayav and he dies before she comes of age, no go. On the other hand, if she gets married again midorabanan and then comes of age, and as Nisuin over there, the Rabbanan say that that's good enough, and you can be Ocholetzit, Obetjabemet. Over here, when he's Mechzira, when she's a Ktana, and she grows up with him, that is the question of a Ta'ut Kiddushe Ktana. The original Kiddushin were Kiddushim of a Ktana. Because when he remarried her, she was a Ktana. Now we're saying that when she grew up with him, and he had Biyah with her when she was a Gdola, he has Kiddushin Doraita. Well, where did that Kiddushin Doraita come from? That means that he had in mind when he had Biyah with her, now he's generating the Kiddushin Doraita now. Huh? But what about the fact that he had the original Kiddushin by a Ktana? So here's a case where you would have suggested it should be premised on the original Kiddushin and should fail. The Biyah, when she's a Gdola, should fail because he's relying on the original Kiddushin. You're right. That's exactly what the Rabbanan are saying, is that he's thinking, now I'm doing a separate Kiddushin, it's not premised on the original Kiddushin. That's Rav Shita.
Right.
But you told me Rav, when there's an Isha Achad, Rav agrees with Shmuel and says it doesn't work. Here's a case of Isha Achad, and we're saying that it's separated, the Biyah is separated from the original Kiddushin. So how can you say, Rav, that Rav will agree in the case of a single case? Here's a case where we have a Deah, that the Biyah later on is separated from, or we don't connect it to the original Kiddushin. So Mer says, Hatam nami bahaka miflage. Over there, their machoket is not about that, but rather about this. Everybody agrees that the later Biyah is connected to the original Kiddushin. Well, if that's the case, then why do the Rabbanan think it goes through and she is married to him and she can do Chalitzar Yibom? Mar savar adam yodeyash ein kiddushei ketana klum. One of them holds, the Rabbanan hold, that everybody knows that the kiddushei ketana don't work. The gamar abal l'shem kiddushin. And therefore, the second Biyah was definitely done l'shem kiddushin, because he knows he doesn't have kiddushin, similar to the pachot bishava pruta over here. Since he has the knowledge that it wasn't kiddushin, he can't premise it on the original kiddushin, because he knows it wasn't kiddushin. He knows that it was only kiddushin midrabanan, and he needs to kind of now have kiddushin d'oraita, and he knows what he's doing. And the other party, Rabbi Lezer, believes that he thinks the kiddushin ketana work, and therefore when he has Biyah later, it's premised on the original kiddushin. And therefore, when he does the bi'ah, he doesn't premise on the original kiddushin. As Rashi points out over here, Rabbi Eliezer thinks that this is true, even if she got divorced when she was a gdola and got remarried with a gdola. It has nothing to do with whether she was a ktana or not a ktana, because he says across the board that we don't say that. So Rashi says, either you don't have this girsa, the second half of the girsa does not apply over here, because it's not necessary. V'lo garsin and b'haka miflike. And you don't put this girsa in. D'ha Rabbi Eliezer mi gurusha to gdola nami amar. Because he says it even by gdola. It has nothing to do with kedushe ta'ut by ktana. Because he says it even when there's a kedushe gdola. It's all the gzera of lo plug. So Rashi says, either you have to eliminate the girsa from here. Says, or if you do have the girsa here, that means that the braita argues on the Mishnah in Yivamot. The Mishnah in Yivamot, the Gemara explains, Rabbi Eliezer thinks that no matter what, you don't do Yibum over here, even if she was a Gdola. The Braita differentiates and says, depends on the case. If she's a Ktana and mixed up with Yitoma B'chayav, then we say it. By a Gdola, where there's nothing to get mixed up, he won't say that. And this Braita will argue on the Mishnah that we had over there. Itmar Nami. We have another statement from the Amoraim that supports Rabba's position over here, which is that by Isha Achat, everybody agrees that you're premising it on the original Kiddushin. Whereas by Shtei Nashim, or the equivalent Isha Achat, that is like Shtei Nashim, that's where the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel is. The Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and Rabbi Yochanan, Mekadesh Al Tanai, Ubal, Person who does kiddushin al tanai and then has bi'ah divrei akol. That means both Rav and Shmuel. Ein atzricha imenu get. You do not need a get. And that's similar to what Rabba said over there, which is that by isha achat, everybody agrees that you're doing it based on the original tanai. It's only when the isha achat starts to look like shtei nashim, then we ask the question, does it work or doesn't work? And Rabba will say the second kiddushin was not, or the bi'ah was not premised on the original kiddushin, whereas Shmuel say it is premised on the original kiddushin. And all these other cases that we brought down, we show that there was another factor. Everybody agrees that the kiddushin or the bi'ah later on is premised on the original kiddushin and would have failed. Just happens to be in those specific cases, do people know? If they know, then they're not premising on the original kiddushin because they know it was a failed kiddushin. So that's the question over there, but not a question of, in general, do we say that Bia is connected to original Kiddushin? Everybody agrees to that. Yes, Bia is connected to original Kiddushin because it's a case of Isha Achat. Okay, we're going to stop over here. 9 lines down on the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph.